Blog Talk Radio.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Alrighty, we're back.
Sorry about yesterday, folks, but Mr. Buzz is right. So we had to make some changes, and we are back. Thanks for listening to today's show. We're going to be here, hopefully, most every evening at 7 o'clock. I'm tired of saying it's going to be here at every evening at 7 o'clock because there are other things that we are trying to accomplish right now, so it's not possible every night. Okay, but you can almost depend on it. How's that? And if I'm not here, always listen to an old show. How's that? Tonight, our guest is going to be Doug Burleson. He is one of the candidates. Well, he's on the city council right now, but he's also running again, trying to see if you can elect him again. We had his competition on the other night, and they both seem to be good gentlemen. So, but here's the point. It's your decision. And if you're not paying attention, then it's your own darn fault. I'm going to be talking about that at the Tea Party. Because most of these people, let me correct that. Some of these people are going to be here. I find it fascinating. I extend my hand out. Some of these people come on the show. We can figure out, who you are. Let the listeners decide who you are, and you make the decision. And then you get people that say, well, I'm going to be with my every Saturday. I'm with my grandchildren, so it's unfortunate that I can't make it, but every Saturday I'm there. So whatever you do, if you want to elect some people, just make sure you don't bug them on Saturdays. I'll bet you Sunday you can't bug them too because there's church. There's going to be all kinds of reasons why you can't bug these people. But I found it fascinating. It's the Tea Party is on April 2nd, and you've got someone that says, well, I'm not going out that day. And that just right there was telling, and I just couldn't believe it. But by the way, I invited them to come on the show, and in the email, it didn't even wasn't even mentioned. So that was real disappointing. But hey, that's what happens when you're in elected office. I guess maybe she figures, yeah, it's a she. Maybe she figures that it's okay. She's going to make it anyway, and it doesn't make a difference. So there you go. Can't figure why our schools are going bad. Can't figure why our government sucks. But I'll tell you what, when they don't show up, that's their problem. Tonight we're going to have Doug Burleson, like I said, and thank goodness for Doug. He's going to be here. He's actually going to let people know who he is. I see one of his fans is in the chat room right now. If you'd like to be a caller, please give us a call at 323-784-9620, and you'll be able to talk to Doug. If you got any questions for them, like I said, you don't know who these people are until you start talking to them, and you listen to see who they are. And my job, hopefully, is to at least draw out and see if these people are phonies or if they're the real deal. And I'm sure, like I said, one of his fans is in the chat room, and I'm sure he just can't wait to hear his guy do it. But we really truly have to keep track of these people because – I'm going to do a little demonstration at the Tea Party that I think is going to have some important an important attitude about why it's important we know who these people are. Because, frankly, most people don't even – and it's worse. It's absolutely worse on the local level. And I am beating everyone up because I can beat myself up because I'm just – is bad. I was as bad, but believe me, it's far from it. And I'm going to do my best with everybody to make sure they keep track of who they are. So, and oh, protect him from you, Tea Party kind. Yeah, right. If it wasn't for us, folks, we have some stuff going on up there, but not a whole lot. All right, I'm going to give Doug a call here. Let me see. Make sure we do this right.
Let me see. Let me just give you Doug's number. He'd probably like that, you know. Should I do that? Should I do that, Teddy? I would never do that. Then again, I'll ask Doug. I sing when I put the numbers in. Okay. All righty. Let's see if he'll answer the phone. He might be playing with his grandkids. So he might not answer the phone. And if you got any questions, just go to the chat room, and we'll be glad to answer them for you. In the meantime, not. You don't have any questions. Well, that's because you already know all about them. But if you have anything you'd like them to say, then, you know. Now, that's if he
answers. Hello.
Oh, I like the way you said it. Hey, Doug, how you doing? This is Super Dave. How you doing, buddy?
All right, Dave. How are you?
Doing okay. Hey, we connected this time, so I appreciate your working with me last night. I think I figured out what I did wrong, but... well, life goes on.
Oh, those computers, you never know.
Well, I think this time it was me, because something other. I really do, because I changed the login. Somewhere or another I did, and I don't know, it came up with the old one, and I didn't even think about it, and started tonight, and I thought, no, not again, and then it kind of hit. So it was my fault. I apologize, Doug. But, hey, we got you on. In fact, a couple buddies of mine said, oh, man, I missed having Doug on. So it actually worked out. So there you go. And
now,
by the way.
Now's our chance.
That's right. Thanks for showing up. I don't know if you heard me when I first started out. I sent out invitations to you and some other people. And one of the responses I got was the fact that, well, every Saturday, this is in regards to the tea party. First of all, I invited him to come on the show, no response to that. And then I said it's about coming to the tea party where you get to meet people, isn't that what you want to do, Doug?
Oh, absolutely, sure.
I mean, how are they going to know who you are? And this particular person said, no, I'm busy that day because every Saturday I spend with my grandkids. You know, so this is 3 days before the election when she can actually get out there. Is it possible that these people aren't showing up because they're hiding? They don't want you to know who they are?
Well, you know, it's tough to say what everybody else's intentions are with things. But, you know, I think with campaign going on that you, like I do, you realize you're going to have to cut out some time for, you know, getting out there and getting your message out. You know, that's kind of surprising that somebody would have that attitude.
Well, it really isn't, because think about it. When Nancy Pelosi up in D.C. said, well, we got to pass the bill before we find out what's in it, it's kind of the same thing. Just go ahead and elect me, and after you elect me, you know, then we'll find out what I'm all about.
Go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, that's you're dead on with that. I mean, this age of, well, just trust us and, you know, we will take care of things. Those days, let's hope that they are long, long over. You know, that didn't do too well for Springfield. And, you know, we're especially seeing it at the federal level and, you know, perhaps even state. Just blind faith in government doing it right. I'm hoping a lot of folks are past that realization that's just not the case.
Well, Doug, I'm going to tell you right now, I am going to be on your butt and everybody else's, and just letting you know that either you're doing it right or you're not. And honestly, if you get down to it, how are you supposed to know unless guys like me do our job?
Well, exactly. And well, I tell you what, Dave, if you weren't, it just wouldn't feel right to me. Over these last 4 years, you know, you get plenty of criticism, and some of it's, you know, some of it's legitimate, some of it's not, but that's what you sign up for when you get involved with public policy like this. And if you're not willing to, you know, be transparent, you know, communicate, be open about what's going on with certain issues, how can folks trust you? You know, not that you need the trust, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about credibility. And if you're wanting to hide what's being discussed and what's happening, that just erodes your credibility in a very fast way.
Well, one of the things I would like to do is I would like to make sure that when you guys make your votes, that once a week on our show that we have these votes and we start explaining to everybody what this is all about. Because, for instance, what people don't understand is you guys are the ones passing regulations. You guys are the ones doing everything that actually affects my freedoms and my wallet. Am I correct?
Well, I'd say so. I don't want to inflate our importance that much, but the saying that all politics is local, I mean, that's where the rubber really meets the road. Paying attention to what happens at city council is an important thing. And on the other end of that, Dave, what you're proposing sounds excellent, because there are times when, you know, you cast the vote and, you'd really like to follow that up with some more statement, commentary, some explanation. And, a lot of times, unless you want to have a meeting, last until 2 o'clock in the morning, you don't have those opportunities. So anytime that something like that would come along, that should be welcome.
Well, and not all votes are black and white. Sometimes you have to vote for things that you don't want to vote for. And I'm not giving excuses, believe me, because if there's a tough time, I'm going to let you know. You know me well enough to know that. So, but at least it gives you the platform to say, this is why we didn't do it. You know, I mean, that's why you got media. That's what it's supposed to be about. Not just the fact that you do it and they get on the radio and go, oh, this is great. You got to go with him. We got to find out why you did it and explain to everybody why you did it or why you didn't do it. Not just go ahead and just say, well, he did what I wanted him to do. Most of the time, laws or regulations that are passed, a lot of people aren't aware of them, what they really are.
Sure. And, beyond that, there's, I say some lack of perception perhaps on the environment surrounding that decision. To try to just nutshell that, what I'm talking about is we're in a legal environment. We've had 200 plus years of legislation being passed by folks like us, regardless of the generation. And, a lot of times the resulting environment, well, it just leaves you, and pardon my French here, but it leaves you with crappy choice A or crappy choice B within that legal environment. And I think what is a really good missing piece of information is what has led to us being in this place today. And let's take a look at the environment and how that got passed into legislation over the years. And now it gives you a little bit better idea. The unintended consequences of something that was passed 20 years ago that you're dealing with today, finding out about those unintended consequences. And
you mean like retirement funds?
Mean.
You mean like retirement funds?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, I don't mean to interrupt here. That's one time, like when I try to explain to people that when you're not paying attention, and this is with labor unions and all kinds of things, the people who are in government vote big raises or big retirements or whatever for people for something 10 years down the road, and we are all asleep, most of us are, and then later on it comes to bite us in the butt. And that's where people have to understand that whenever you make a decision, it affects everybody. And remember I said at first it affects our wallets? That's exactly what I'm talking about. Because, you're not the federal government, and you're not going to affect our wallet the same way. But on a local level, you are affecting our wallet.
Right, and it affects your future wallet and your children's wallets, whenever they start filling them up. And that's a really good example. I mean, let's look at the pension issue, and there were some decisions made back in the day that, okay, we're just not filthy rich with cash at the moment. So we're going to, propose a deal that will, make everybody happy right now. But what that does is just kind of defer the financial, calamity down the road. And, you know, so we finally got to the point, well, hey, we're now down the road. So, you know, one of the responsible things that I would consider, and that was, you know, resulted in my vote on the pension, was let's not pass anything else on down the road. Let's take care of this right now. It's one of these deals where can we really pay attention to what we're leaving for our children 10, 20, 30, 50 years down the road? And, you know, you just, I think a responsible thing at a point is taking care of business now, regardless of how uncomfortable it is. If you don't take care of it now, it's going to be 10 times as uncomfortable when somebody finally gets to the point where they're like, well, we've just got to deal with this situation. There's no more passing the buck. Well, let's keep from passing the buck now, and let's try to keep from creating those situations on further down the road.
I have a question, Doug. Is it possible to sell a lot of land in the city so they can, first of all, stop spending so much money trying to take care of it, you know, which costs money, obviously, and second, put some revenue back into coffers? Why are we holding on to all this land?
Well, it's a mixed bag. And what I do want to tell you, Dave, and communicate is that prior to myself getting on council, we didn't know what land we actually had and who officially had it and how much of it there was. We had to go through a process of actually determining that, which, you know, when I found out that was surprising, shocking might be a better word.
That
process actually began, you know, within this last 4 years. And it was as a result of, I think, some folks paying attention and, you know, voting in three new council members 4 years ago. That sea change would not have happened, and staff would not have felt compelled to begin that work unless voters spoke the way they did. And, you know, thank goodness they did. Now, on the back end of that, once that process has started, you've got segments of land in the city that the city owns that are, let's say, for good reasons. Whether it's a corner of a piece of real estate that pretty soon at some point in time that's going to result in an addition to an intersection, perhaps water detention. There are some reasons that we hang on to some land. And on the other end of that, there's an entire list of parcels that had finally been assembled that we're liquidating now. But like I said, I don't think that would have happened unless voters spoke the way they did 4 years ago.
Well, Doug, and the reason that's happening, though, is because, okay, the reason they get their land is normally because somebody stopped paying their taxes and the city took over, right?
That's in a lot of cases, yes, that is true.
Okay, and then I'm asking you to go through the process here. Okay, so then the land is there, they didn't pay their taxes, and then what happens after that?
Going through the process of staff determining if this is land that we need to hang on to or that we need to go ahead and liquidate, you know, that goes through an evaluation process. So your entities like Public Works, Building Development Services, things like that, you know, they'll make a determination on that. If it's generally land that's been received because of a tax delinquent situation, generally that doesn't have importance to Public Works or what have you. Generally those parcels have been received in a different manner. So when you look at this and you assemble your parcels, you're like, okay, these are things that we don't need, the city needs to liquidate. Then you enter into a process to where, okay, we publicize the availability. You know, we put these lists on our website. We sometimes advertise in the newspaper. You know, you go through several different versions of trying to get the word out if there's no immediate response. And much like what we're seeing with this situation, I believe it, excuse me if I get the address wrong, 900 West College, where that was advertised over and over and over again, no response. Well, we finally stuck a for sale sign out on the front of the property.
Well, let me ask you, why wouldn't that be done to begin with? Why would you have to, I mean, why, you know, if I'm driving down the street and I'm looking for a property, I'm not trying to pick on you here, but why wouldn't that be done to begin with? You know, a lot of people don't look in the paper to see what's for sale. They're driving around the area. You know, I mean, I was in real estate. If you don't have a sign there, people don't know it's for sale half the time.
Well, I tell you, Dave, that's a real good question, and you know, it's not something I immediately know the answer to. The assumption there is you're going through protocols of how to advertise things without going through a lot of cost, and you know.
Wait a minute! Doesn't it cost to put it in the paper?
Sure. Yes, it does.
Okay, I cost a lot of money to put it in the paper. What does it cost to put a for sale sign out there?
Well, your cost of the sign, the cost of labor, somebody putting it out there, how do those figures compare to each other? You know, to be honest, I don't know at this point.
I do. A sign was going to be, a sign out there that people can see is going to be a whole lot cheaper than what you're talking about. You know, because that's what I'm saying. This is where the inefficiency in the city is there, and I would bet you that most of the people listening are going, yeah, that's kind of dumb. And I'm not trying to pick on you here, but it's like those are the kinds of things. Now, granted, you have to get input from us too, but that's something
right.
I just look at. And it's like, you know, if I'm driving around looking for a place to put my business and there's no sign there, I wouldn't figure, you know, who knows what it is.
Well, and the very cool thing about this conversation right now, you have just delivered a point of input on that. You know, this is not necessarily anything I've heard from anybody else at this point. So what, you know, just to underscore the importance of communication.
Okay, Doug, you got all these people on city council, and this is the first time you heard him. I said, I got an idea. Let's put a sign out there, you know.
Well, no, but as far as why not do that as a first step? You know, that's you know, the prioritization of this is what necessarily hasn't been communicated. Why do you not just stick a sign out there first and then worry about, because I know the reason things are advertised in the newspaper, that satisfies some legal requirements. You, once you've put the word out in the newspaper, then you have documented that, yes, we have publicized this and we have put the word out. You know, I guess you could do really the same thing with a for sale sign out on a piece of property, and that would give you just as legitimate documentation.
Yeah, I mean, you got a for sale thing, you buy for sale thing for $15 and a stick, and it takes 2 minutes to go in there and slam it in there.
Well, and I guess to satisfy legal requirements, could you not stand out next to the sign with a newspaper that has a date on it and have somebody take your picture and go, okay, look, we have advertised this property? I mean, you know, really, that sounds a little bit on the ludicrous side, but it's called a common sense way of dealing with something that, you know, well, we get a little bit too mired in legalese and satisfying state law that we don't think of something. Just put a sign out there.
Okay,
you know?
I'm going to go a step farther. We have the internet now. Okay, the newspaper is something that's antiquated to some extent. Okay,
right,
a lot of people
right.
don't even get the newspaper. So why isn't there one little page on the city website saying these are the properties that are for sale? It's done. It's cheap. You know, I mean, that would be the easiest way. Look, I'm not brilliant, but that didn't take a whole lot to figure out. And how many people in city council, you know? I'm just saying that's actually a pretty easy thing. So I'm not trying to pick on you here, but I'm just saying that those are things I just find fascinating. Because if you put something in the paper over and over and over and over, I don't read the paper.
I think to just clarify on that, I'm rather sure that we do have that on our website. How prevalent is it? In other words, it's probably not on the front page. And I would hope that it's not the situation where, you know, you've got to click through five different links to finally get to where you're going. But that information is on the website. I don't have that particular page off the top of my head, the address that I could give you. But having raised that point, just to let you know, that information is actually posted.
Okay. All right. Well, see, that's just it. You know, part of the and I'm asking these questions not because I know everything. That's why I'm asking, because if it's there, then it's like, I didn't know that. I'll be the first to admit I didn't know that.
And it's a good question, because now that you've asked it and we've talked about it, maybe a few more people are aware that, oh, okay, I can go to Springfield's website and find out about some of these vacant properties. You know, anyway, you can get the word out, and whether it's, you know, on a website or, you know, if it's a conversation on Blog Talk Radio, you know, hopefully we're doing a good job as far as, you know, at least getting the information to folks. And you know, we can always do better. But, you know, I'm glad you bring it up, because that informs a few more listeners of, you know, what resources are available to them.
Well, when I was talking to the fire chief right before they talked the citizens into raising taxes, which to me is insanity, when I was talking to him, I mentioned something about selling the property, and I love the way the city has it. Well, it's like, well, that's a different department. We can't do anything about that. So we, you know, because there was – they were talking. Somebody had called in my show I had, and they had said something about spending all kinds of money at the parks. Why can't they take some of that and do it something else? And everything's no, this department, that department, whatever. It's like, you know, if we have this deficit, though, if you're at home and you have a deficit, you know, you take from others to fix that part. You know, you just don't say, well, I can't deal with that because that's in another place. You know, something has to change there, and sometimes I think it's done on purpose, so there's an excuse not to do it, so we can raise taxes, for instance.
Well, sometimes it has that feel to it, and it kind of goes back to that, well, we're in this 200-plus-year-old legal environment. You know, when you're making decisions in your household, you don't necessarily need to check with your lawyer every step that you take to make sure that you're not doing something inappropriate. At the city level, you know, really I hate to use the term paranoia, but there is that legal paranoia, and it should be. We want to operate within the law. But, you know, you're right. It does have the feel of, okay, yeah, this is outside of my department, so now I have this plausible deniability of having to actually step up and do something common sense. And something does need to be done about that. You know, I think we've struggled with it here locally and trying to do a better job of that. But there's a state environment, and here I am going into that whole plausible deniability mode. But the reality is there are laws in place that we have to comply with.
Right.
These folks in Jeff City and sometimes Washington, D.C. are the ones coming up with these laws and regulations. And, you know, can we get something that gives you some flexibility? Okay, we've got an enormous sinkhole at Glenstone and Chestnut. That's just an example. It's not reality.
You know what I learned about people that are in politics longer and longer? They filibuster more and more. They monologue. They get on there. And it's like, do you people ever breathe? You know,
okay, now are you charging me with this right now, Dave? I'm going on and on and on.
Yeah, it's like, hey, this is my show. You want the show? You come on this side of the microphone. All right, I wanted to tell everybody we're talking to Doug Burleson, monologuing here. I'm having fun with you, Doug. And if you want to talk to Doug, please. 323, I'm just kidding, 323-784-9620. If you got any questions for him, the importance, I mean, honestly, God, the importance of what these people do is not out there enough. It really isn't, because, like, oh, it's only the local level, it doesn't make a difference, and people like, you guys don't take any money from me. That's to the contrary. I mean, there's so much you guys do on the local level that people aren't even aware of. I mean, there's money that's spent, money that, you know, the property taxes alone are basically determined on what you guys do. You know, all the funds that come in, and
right,
if you don't get enough funds, guess what you do? You charge more in taxes. You know, and that's where people just don't get it. So I'm really hoping more and more that people get the fact that that you guys spend money, our money, you know, and if it's almost like you have a hold of my wallet and you go, you know, and people are like, I don't care, just take what you want. That's what it amounts to if you get down to it. They don't know who you are. They're saying, your name's Doug Burleson. Here, take my wallet, take what you want, and just give me what's left. Now, if that's okay with people, keep voting the same way. My God, that's what you're doing anyway. But if that isn't true, then you need to come to the Tea Party on April 2nd or listen to this show or do some research on Doug and everybody else and do something
absolutely
different. You know,
absolutely.
April 2nd, you're going to be there, right? We're actually going to let you talk for a few minutes. I'll cut you off up there, dude.
I'll go on and on and on, Dave. I'll talk for like 2 hours.
I know. Well, it seems like the longer you're in politics. I did this with Mark Wright, and I like Mark Wright, but it's like he's talking, and I was like, does this guy ever shut up? And he didn't even realize. And that's what you guys do all the time, you know? So, Doug.
on one end of that, Dave, you start talking about a subject, and you know, as you're going on and on and on, which obviously I have some skill at doing, you know, more and more things come into your awareness, like, well, here's this side point that I want to make sure not to forget to mention because it's important. You know, these, like you had said earlier, rarely are these just black and white issues, and, you know, different parts of the equation come into play, and you want to make sure not to exclude that information.
Right, right.
Going back to my ludicrous example with Glenstone and Chestnut, and let's just say there's a giant sinkhole there, you know, and Public Works, we're out of funds with Public Works to fill up the sinkhole. Why couldn't we borrow something from Animal Control or the Fire Department or the Police Department to take care of this, you know, tremendous threat to public safety? And that's where, you know, we could actually use some help from Jeff City as far as some flexibility like that. We don't currently enjoy that. And the problem with that, if you design something, you get legislation in place with too much flexibility, then that could actually open the road to some corruption.
Well, because we all know there's no corruption there.
Well, I tell you, when you... I think you have some folks on council now that, you know, we try to be very cognizant of that. And anytime you see a flag, that there are a lot of tough questions asked of the city management. It's really not tolerated within the current structure now.
All right, then.
How believable is that to the general listener out there? You know, I don't know. I don't know the picture that gets painted by the media all the time. But
okay, Doug, then do me a favor then. Tell us some of the names of the people you knew were corrupt in the previous administrations. That's great for juicy radio and good for the print press. I mean, who do you think was in there before was corrupt? And you're like, good God, they're out of there. Come on, let's be a man. Man up. Tell us who it is.
Well, I'll tell you what. I will mention one name, and
okay. That's
all I'm going to do, because other than that, people like me, we get sued by people. And that's a legitimate threat, and that's something that I've had to experience directly. I'm going to throw out Tom Finney's name. I'm not going to say that, you know, Tom bought a house off of pension earnings that didn't get delivered. It's nothing like that, but as far as priorities of spending in the city back in the day, rather than taking a look at the future and making sure that things were squared away and in place, I think there was a little bit more of a tendency to let's create a legacy, and, you know, let's have a nice brand new park in the middle of downtown, and let's do some things like that, rather than perhaps taking care of some vulnerabilities that we're just starting to see. And, you know, so that's, as far as corruption goes, you know, if you want to call that corruption, I would just call it really more malfeasance. But
I got to, the HERS building, what about that garbage? You know, that's been going on for years. Why in the world are we even messing with that?
Well, the actual part of that now is that we're not directly messing with that. that's in private hands. It belongs to Kevin McGowan or, you know, the conglomeration that he's put together.
Well, yeah, but he left it open. Wait a minute. The city used the funds, and they went in there, they boarded it up. Now, why is that going on?
Well, that is...
Okay, wait a minute. It was a nuisance. It should have been yanked from that dude right away. Why isn't the city sue him and either say, put it up, or we're going to go ahead and take it back, and we're either going to knock it down or do something or give it to somebody for a dollar. It doesn't make a difference. The city's lost so much money on that property anyway. It's not even funny.
And the tally that I kind of have in mind as far as looking in the years back within the last 10 years, you know, we're probably at $1 million price tag on that, realistically. The last one that I was able to mention and kind of got criticized for was the $250,000 loss when we actually sold that. I'm like, good gosh, we've just lost $250,000 on this real estate transaction. And, you know, at the time it was phrased to me, well, that's the cost of doing business.
Yeah,
well,
but wait a minute. There were no expectations from this guy to do anything. So in a way, I mean, and you know what? I think the taxpayers would rather see you give the place away for a dollar, get out of the city's hair, stop playing with it, let somebody do something with it, you know, whatever.
Well, that's where we're at. I mean, it's in private ownership. So that's where it's a little tough for us at city council to go, needs to happen with the property or
but
that.
Doug, why weren't there expectations put there for that? Instead of, you know, he buys the building and it sits there, and then throughout the winter, who went up there and put OSB, you know, plywood in the windows? The city did, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, that shouldn't even happen. That should not have even happened. It should have said, this is, you know, drag that dude to jail. Do something, but don't just let that happen. And the city goes, well, I guess we'll go fix it for him.
Okay, let me, I want to clarify that, Dave, if I could.
Sure, please.
You're operating within a city ordinance. And what the city did basically was what was allowed by ordinance. Kevin McGowan wasn't putting wood on the windows. There was a safety hazard there for people walking by. So the city puts the wood on the windows. We seal it up. We're not just sucking up that cost. There's now a lien on that building that will cover those costs whenever it's sold. So, you know, you try to do it in a revenue-neutral way, but still the upfront cost was something that came from us.
Will
we get that out of Kevin McGowan eventually? Yeah, but when is eventually going
to
happen?
Well, you're hoping you do. I mean, you really are hoping you do, but you don't know if you will, and you don't know if this guy's going to have it complete, you know, within a year or 2 years. Look, I came from St. Louis. They did the same kind of garbage up there. And what they did up there, are you familiar with the Kiel Opera House?
Yeah.
Okay. They sold the land to a bunch of investors, and part of the deal was they had to redo the Kiel Opera House. Well, 15 years later, I don't know if it's getting done or not, but we're talking forever. And so it's been nothing but a mess up there, and nothing changes. So you guys can pass ordinances. Then why isn't there an ordinance? I'm not trying to pick on you, but why isn't there an ordinance here that says, okay, if you buy it, there's a stipulation. If you buy it, this is what you have to do. I mean, that can be done. Am I correct or am I missing something?
No, I'd say that can be done. That's generally maybe not as a condition of buying the property, but when you go to get the zoning for what you need to use the property for, they're called planned developments. I mean, so then if you get this zoning, you have – you know, X and Y requirements that you have to satisfy to keep this zoning. And that's generally what happens during a planned development. But, you know, when something is sitting vacant with no action movement on it and he currently enjoys the zoning that he's going to need moving forward, then, you know, that eliminates a lot of your tools that you have to work with.
But you're assuming he's going to do something. What has he done up to this day?
I'd say a lot of spinning of wheels, actually.
Well, yeah, but you're spinning. No, he's done nothing, correct? I mean, if I'm wrong.
I would say that anything that creates lasting, you know, value that you can see, yeah, you're correct. There's been nothing done.
Well, then, you know, I mean, that's my point. So we hire you guys to do something, and I'm not saying you can. And if you can't, then you got to tell us why you can't. But that's what I'm saying, the stipulations and those things. And this is why everyone has to understand that who we elect is important. And maybe you couldn't do it on your own. Maybe, you know, I mean, obviously you can't do it on your own. But the bottom line is we have a HERS building there. And if you even look on the news later, 99% of the people who even respond when there's a story about it, it's like either get rid of the building or do something different, but stop playing games with this. You know, I think people are tired of it. I think that's fair to say. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I would. And I would also offer, well, we've quit playing games with it. It's in private ownership hands. In other words, Dave, you own a house at Walnut and Grant. You know, it's not really the greatest house. It's dilapidated, but it's secure enough to where it's safe. You don't, you know, get into any of the nuisance, the building nuisance ordinances or anything like that. Then what right do I as a city councilman or us as a city council have to tell you what to do with your private property other than what it impacts on the neighborhood? Now, if you've got those impacts down to zero, but it's not given any quality economic incentive, you know, it's not prettying up the neighborhood, it's not doing anything that creates economic activity, well, I believe in private property, and I believe that, well, if that's the state that you want to let your property set in, until it becomes dangerous, I have no say in it.
Well, wait a minute, though. But this is where I'm having an issue here, Doug. He had a chance to do something, and he left it open. And so the city came to the rescue, and they put something up. There should have been something. There should have been some criminal charge or something filed against him. I mean, some charge filed against him. So he had to come down here and do this, and not the taxpayers of Springfield, with the hope that they get paid back, because there's no guarantee we're going to get paid back.
Well, and that's correct, and it's kind of funny. We were discussing the excess property issue prior to this. This is the type of situation where, okay, we put a lien on that building in exchange for making it safe. Now, there are other properties in Springfield that's not near as, it's not near as visible as the HERS building. Let's say somebody has a two-story rental house, and it's in between renters. There's windows bashed out of it. It's just a bad deal. The city will come through, and they will board up those windows, and they'll place a lien on that property. That's a lot of times where those properties, that's one method with which they get into the city's ownership because of those liens. Now, the HERS building could easily follow suit. In other words, that, you know, when it comes down to it and that lien does not get paid for, well, then all of a sudden we, the city, now own the HERS building again for whatever, $60,000, $65,000, $70,000 that it took us to board up those walls.
Yeah, but I don't think the taxpayers are happy about that, because anytime you go down there, it's an eyesore. No matter, it's an eyesore, you know, and it shouldn't. Somebody needs to do something with it. Okay, well, look, I don't want to spend all day talking about that, but that was just that's kind of a thorn in my side, because it's like, you know, let's do something with that. You know, okay, you're talking about property rights, which I'm a big believer in, so I am with you on that. Where are you on the property rights as far as this silly smoking ban that we're going to have to vote on here? Are you there? Hello? Okay. Oh, we lost him. Okay, hold on a second here. Tell you what, we're going to play a real quick commercial. We'll be right back. Maybe I can sell something. How's that? You know, let me find it here. Okay, hold on. We'll be right back. I'll get Doug right back. All righty. I want to take a couple minutes here to explain to you what I've been doing for the past year. And, yes, this is a commercial break, and this means that you really need to pay attention, because if I'm saying it, it must be right. How about that? okay, I've been involved with H&H Industries, which is a lighting company. Now, I basically do industrial-type lighting, but we do some residential, too. We have those types of twisty-type things, and a lot of people have fluorescence in their home. But what the one thing I want to tell you more than anything that I learned in this business was that we have, most of us have zero idea about lighting. You just buy lights and you think, hey, it's that bright and that's it. Wrong. You can put the brightest light up there you want, but the problem is it giving your eyes what it needs to see well? And the answer in 99% of the cases is absolutely not. So what we do is we go into businesses, like I said, some residential, and we redo their lighting. Now, in businesses, we go in there and we'll go do an audit, and we'll see what you're currently using. Then we'll come in later with a proposal, and we'll explain to you what kind of lighting is best for what you have, the least amount of lights with the most output. Now, when I say output, what is best for your eyes, and what's going to cost you the least amount in the future? And, you know, let's not kid anybody. At Lowe's and Home Depot and these places, their business is to sell you as many lights as possible. That's their business. I mean, when you walk in there, don't think they're going. You're going in there and you got someone that says, we want you to buy the least we can. They don't. We do. But the reason we do is, of course, our lighting is more expensive. However, it is much, much better than anything you buy at those other places. So give me a call off the air. My number is 417-770-6301, and we can discuss the kinds of things we can do. And, you know, you just don't know what you're missing until you get some good light in your house. That's all we have in our house anymore. We've got the H&H lights, and I can't even think about putting any other kind of lights in my house, because when I walk around now, as I'm getting a little older, I can actually see better, much, much better. So let me give you that number again one more time. That's 417-770-6301. Give me a call and let's see what we can get worked out. I really think you'll be happy with it.
You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible, because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
All righty, we're back here at Super Dave Show. I'm not sure who I got on line here. I'm not sure how to work this sometimes.
Dave, this is Doug Burleson.
Okay, I think somebody else on here too?
This is Doug.
Okay, no, you got Doug on here. Okay, somebody else is on here too, but that's all right. Okay, Doug, go ahead. Yeah, I guess we lost you somewhere or another. Did you lose a battery or something?
I'm not sure what happened there. I just...
Okay. We'll blame it on Teddy.
We just lost each other.
I think Teddy had something to do with it. Hey, okay, where I was with that is, where are we with the smoking issue with that smoking ban?
Well, obviously that's going to be facing the voters April 5th. If I can just plug my own personal feelings on that, I think that's a bad ordinance for Springfield. I think we're micromanaging business way too much. It doesn't necessarily respect private property and property rights as far as a business owner.
Don't you care about their lungs? Don't you care about their lungs, though? I mean, aren't you all concerned about the fact?
Well, you know, I care about people's lungs, but what I can't do is follow people around all day and keep threats away from their lungs. At some point in time, people have to be responsible for their own health and safety. And, you know, it's not the government's responsibility for your health, 100% of it.
Okay. Hey, Doug, we got a question for you on the line here. You got a question for Doug?
Yeah. Did I hear him say that it cost $60,000 to $70,000 to board up that building?
I believe that's correct. It's off the top of my head, but that's the ballpark figure that seems to be coming back from my recollection, somewhere in between $60,000 to $70,000.
But do those things go out to bid?
Oh, absolutely, they did. And it was Lois Bitter that got the honor of performing that contract.
Hey, caller, does that sound like a lot of money to you, or am I missing something?
It sounds like a lot to me. That's why, you know, suddenly I thought, well, hey, there's where your corruption's coming in.
Well, one of the parts of this that people aren't able to see from the street, from the curb, there was some roof work that had to be done as well in the interest of safety. And I think that's really probably half of the price tag was what was done on the roof.
Yeah, it just gets worse and worse, doesn't it?
Well, caller, maybe what we should do is let's just go ahead and rebuild the whole building in the interest of safety, and then, you know,
yeah.
Then we
get...
I'm not trying to pick a dog. What's that?
I said, as long as we got a lien on it, what the heck?
Yeah, we might as well, you know. Do you see where this becomes a laughing matter, Doug? Because, you know, we're spending $67,000,
yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden we got to fix the roof. I mean, you know, we're going to fix the stairs, you know, maybe put some lights in, you know, and therefore when they break in, they can walk around. Because if somebody dies in that place, you know the city's responsible, because this guy from St. Louis isn't responsible.
Well, and, you know, we would try to make him responsible, but that would be a lawsuit, you know, and the end result of that is the judge is going to tell you the level of responsibility that he has. Hopefully the judge would say the right thing and make whoever's responsible pony up, but, you know,
that's
unknown.
As soon as you guys went over there and said, you tell this guy, it's in the interest of public safety, either board it up, or if we do it, we're going to board it up and immediately file suit against this guy and take care of it that way.
Well, there is, like I said, the ordinance does give you the ability to place a lien on the building. And I think the consensus was to move beyond that. Would send the signal that, well, we're just going to not necessarily be the most business-friendly government in Southwest Missouri here. Is that a cop-out? You know, perhaps. But, you know, you want to make sure that you're not necessarily singling and a single entity out, and that you're trying to apply what is in your ordinances equally across the board. And I think that's what we've tried to do with the HERS building, but it is such an albatross, and I know it has kind of become a laughing matter, but $60,000 to $70,000, the lien that we have on that, I'm telling you, it could be a lot worse given the size and scale of that building, and perhaps, you know, if Springfield was to get back into the ownership of that. You know, that becomes a real major headache to the tune of six digits or more. And,
right.
You know, we're laughing about it now. It would be a crying matter at that point.
I'm not laughing. Believe me. I don't think it's only funny because of how the city's handling it. And to me, it's really disappointing. I'd rather just say, you know, we've given this guy a chance. It's in a place where it shouldn't even come close to having that happen. But it is, and the city's going, well, we don't want to treat him too poorly here. No, the guy, you know, he's allowing it to be a hazard, and there should be something. I'm sure in normal circumstances, if it's a homeowner, it's a little bit different. Screw the business part, because if it's a hazard, it's a hazard, you know. So,
well,
anyway,
and that's
well.
True. Our main job, and you're right, it's public safety. That's the core mission of the municipal government. You know, it's not to decide what people do with their private property. It's not to decide, you know, other ancillary matters. The core mission is public safety.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Wait a minute. How about this? This is the best way to take care of it. Don't do anything. And then when somebody goes in there and causes a death or something like that, we can't be responsible for everything. Just let something happen. And when it happens, you take police cars up and you collect Mr. McGowan, right?
Right,
and
you bring him
back to Springfield, and then quite possibly, he may be a little more responsive then. Instead of just saying, well, we'll cover your butt, we'll do this. Look, people die every day, you know, but something's got to happen. We can't protect everybody, and this is something he should be doing, not the city. So, anyway, let's change the subject.
And you're right, it's his property, and that is Things have the tendency to build, Dave, and I would mention another example as far as, and this is not the most popular thing. I'm probably going to alienate some voters by saying this, but with John Q. Hammonds and that property next to the Expo Center, it had been my observation on council that we enter into a contract with Mr. Hammonds. He seeks to amend it, cannot hold to the original contract. So at a certain point in time, you know, I and others advocated he's violated the contract. Let's get out of it. And that's exactly, you know, how that proceeded. And the amount of heat that you take for that, people call up and they email you.
But you know what? When I hear about the amount of heat, you're in a leadership position, and I can tell you, that's part of your job is the heat that comes with it. You make decisions. If you don't like them, don't vote for me next time. I mean, that's where it really goes with me.
That's correct. You're correct. The reason I mention that, I mean, on the other end of the equation, there are constituents that are just as vocal that, you know, we should be bending over backwards to accommodate Mr. Hammonds. That was not my viewpoint, and we, you know, that was the viewpoint that we ended up getting the majority on council to agree.
Right. Okay.
So,
All right, Doug. I'm gonna cut you here. I'm gonna give you a real quick question. We only got a couple minutes left here. Okay.
Okay.
Next 4 years, just give me a quick synopsis of what you'd like to accomplish.
Well, a defense of this city from what is going to be coming our direction from Washington, D.C. You know, what I would ask for folks, if they're going to vote for me or whoever they vote for, that we get a greater realization of the 10th Amendment to our Constitution, the one that says basically the power is reserved to us, the people, rather than the federal government. And we get serious about that because there are some things coming down the pike from EPA, from others that, you know, well, we have just decided that you're going to need to pay a lot of money, do a lot of infrastructure work because of our administrative regulations.
Why don't you just stand up?
We're already feeling the economic pressure, so that's just going to add to it.
Okay, I got a question then. You know what? It would turn people on like you wouldn't believe, and it'd show true leadership if the city would turn around and say, good luck on that one. We can't afford it. We're not doing it. Take us to court and at least fight it that way instead of being lame and saying, okay, if you say so, we'll do this. We don't have a choice. We'll just make the taxpayers. Stand up for the taxpayers. Stand up for the area and say, that may be what you want to do up there. We're not doing it. I mean, honest to God, why is it so hard for other government, you know, for the local and state governments to say, no, we're not going to do it? What, are they going to come in and arrest you?
Well, that's a very good question, and what I would challenge you and your listeners to do is to elect those people that will have the viewpoint that the federal government is not necessarily God to us, that we do have the right to challenge the federal government and what they're handing down the pike to us. Now, I'm one of those that believes in the 10th Amendment and that we have the right to do that. If we get a majority of us on council, then we can direct our law department to actually make those kind of stands. But until that consensus is there, you know, there's just a few minority voices calling for that, and that's not good enough.
Okay, well, and I'm just telling you right now, I think you'd be more of a hero if you stood up. It's like the HERS thing. We've been pussyfooting around this thing for I don't know how many years, and it's time to say, I'm done doing this. And the same thing goes with the other. Hey, thanks a lot for coming on, man. I only got a few seconds left. We will see you on Tea Party Day, April 2nd, right?
Sounds good. Yes, Dave,
okay.
You will.
Okay. All righty. Thanks a lot, Doug. We'll be back Monday for another show, and it'll be a surprise who it is because right now I'm not sure. So, all right. Thanks for listening. And see you, Doug. Bye.
Pleasure talking to you, Dave. Thank you.
And why not? I got fired.
You can't fire him.
Why not?
He quit.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. 'cause when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
Thanks. I needed that.